everyone, and welcome to the AI Innovators Podcast. I'm Rob May. I'm the CEO of Nova. And this podcast looks at AI from a lot of aspects, from the technology side, from the business side, from the market side, and the investment side. And we're really just trying to uncover what is happening across all those levels in the market. So to fill us in on what's happening in AI and the legal, particularly the contract market today, I have Otto Hansen and Evan Harris from TermScout. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Great. Well, let's jump right in with the question that I think everybody is going to want to know when they find out what you do, which is, why do contracts suck so much?
Oh, it's a great question, Rob. And it's the right question to start with. And to understand it, you first have to just appreciate how omnipresent contracts have become in today's economy. Any transaction that you've entered into, whether it be in your capacity as a business person, entrepreneur, or as an individual, almost every transaction comes with a contract today. The apps we download on our iPhones come with terms of service and privacy policies. The homes we buy, the software we use, virtually everything has a contract. And these contracts, of course, are legally binding instruments. They're mechanisms that we use to grant legally enforceable rights and obligations to one or other party. So they matter a lot. And they're so omnipresent, and they become such an interwoven part of our economy that we just don't have time to read them. What really sucks about them, Rob, is that they're kind of stuck in the Stone Age from a technological perspective. And what I mean by that is, they're still about 99.999% of them anyways are still drafted in free form human language by human beings, by some document automation services, by GPT, but they're creatures of unstructured data. And unstructured data, we'll make the argument more throughout the course of this podcast, that unstructured data is the real crux of why they suck. The unstructured nature of them makes them really hard to understand. Not just for people, we need lawyers to help us understand them, but equally hard for machines to understand. You know, if a human being can't understand something, you got to know that it's just as hard, if not harder, to program software to go understand it. So I'll leave it at that. They're omnipresent, they're unstructured, they're really complicated, and they matter.
Now, Otto, you were a lawyer before you started TermScout, correct? And so aren't you supposed to be a big fan of contracts?
True. I was a lawyer. I practiced law for a while. I was a technology transactions corporate attorney in a large regional firm here in Denver. And yeah, I liked the practice of law. And I like contracts, actually. I think they're a really important part of the economy. As a company, you know, TermScout, we need contracts to help allocate risk in a deal, to help provide rules of the road, to make sure we get paid. Like, they're really important, but they're broken right now. And one of the ways that we know they're broken, this is kind of a follow-on to why they suck today. People who draft contracts today, Rob, they know that most of the people signing those contracts don't have the wherewithal, the tech, the legal expertise, whatever it is, to actually understand those contracts. And even if they do understand them, they don't typically have the bargaining power to negotiate them. And when I was practicing law, a client came to me once and he said, Otto, we just learned that none of our customers ever open our contract. They just mindlessly click, I accept, over and over when they open the app. And I said, yeah, I know, it's a crazy world we live in, huh? And he said, yeah. So what we want you to do as our lawyer is go rewrite that contract to make it really one-sided. We win, you lose. And he went down a laundry list of nefarious things that he wanted to accomplish in this contract. And it was like this huge aha moment for me that when I zoomed out and looked around the firm, you know, the other contracts that I was working on, I realized it wasn't actually just this one person. This is the rational response today. In a world where people are going to click accept your contract without reading it, the rational thing to do is make it really one-sided. And so it's not just that we're signing contracts that we don't understand. It's that opportunism is a real threat and a real incentive that has caused the contract drafters, the contract owners of the world, to actually make contracts way worse than they would be otherwise.
So contracts suck. You decided to start a company to fix this. So tell me about the founding story. How did you and Evan connect, and how did TermScout come to be?
Yeah. So the founding story is kind of I just shared what was going on in the legal practice and this epiphany about the opportunism that was pervasive in the world of contracts. And that prompted me to kind of go out and think critically, like, is there a good solution? And it seemed obvious to me. Like, the solution we think is, if you can give people tools to instantly understand how good or bad a contract is, you're at least solving that first part of the problem of giving them the information they need to at least make an informed decision about whether or not to sign. Now, when you put those tools in the hands of businesses, usually they also have the second piece of the equation, which is bargaining power. The bargaining power, the ability to go back and say, now we know this is bad, we used Term Scout to review it, and we want to change it. Evan came into the story. Evan's, he'll share more about his background, I presume, here, but he brought the technical chops. I was the subject matter expert, and Evan came into the fold with a really strong background in AI and machine learning. And he came in and helped me really piece this together and figure out, how do you actually accomplish that from a technical perspective? Turns out the problems we're solving are far from trivial and have been way, way harder than we ever thought. Someone recently said, a podcast I listened to said, it's young hubris that is actually the greatest thing to innovation, because we have to be foolish enough to think we can solve these problems. Once we get in there, we actually realize how hard they are. And if we knew that in advance, we might not have done it. But thank God I was ignorant enough. And thank God Evan was talented enough to actually, make this all happen from a technical perspective.
Yeah. So Evan, let's turn over to you and talk a little bit about what you saw that made you want to join Term Scout with Otto. And then the three of us talked recently about ChatGPT and how it's all the rage and the stuff you guys have been working on at Term Scout. Some of the things that you do are quite different than things that people would think you would do with ChatGPT. One of the biggest use cases that people keep writing about is, imagine using ChatGPT in legal work. And as we spoke about, there's some things it can do that are helpful on the legal side. And there's a lot of things that are actually still really, really difficult. So tell us a little bit, Evan, why you joined Term Scout, and then talk about this sort of ChatGPT and what you guys do and the different approaches that are involved.
Yeah. I mean, ChatGPT has definitely been all the rage for really great reasons. It's been a crazy couple of months jumping in. A couple of sleepless nights there in late November when it came out, just playing around with this thing. It's just been incredible to watch the excitement in the AI field, like from the average person, in a way that I just really haven't experienced in my career. And it's such a fun tool that I've loved playing around with. You know, one of the ways that I think our approach is really different also ties in with what got me excited about Term Scout to begin with, why I joined Otto on this journey, and will lead me into what we're building today. So I really think creating a great machine learning powered business or machine learning powered product happens when you pair subject matter experts with machine learning experts. Regardless of what kind of problem you're solving in legal tech or any other field, that's where the magic happens, when you have subject matter experts and machine learning experts in the room together. And this is something that really attracted me to working with Otto. Ambitious technical person paired with the subject matter expert with deep customer empathy, really understands the problem, working together to solve it. That's what really sets you up for success with machine learning. And if you take the other tact, where it's all technical people in the room, you don't have that subject matter expert, you can find yourself with a solution without the right problem. And I think that's a place you really don't want to be in a tech startup. This really drew me to Otto. From day one, talking to Otto about the problem, about contracts, this is all new to me. I don't have a background in law. I haven't thought a ton about contracts in my life before joining Term Scout. And seeing that Otto really understood the idea of collecting and labeling proprietary data that solves a problem that customers really want solved, the idea of, like, hey, we could do this with human lawyers. We could sit down and label what's important in a contract and use that in downstream applications, which I can talk about in a second, that truly add value to customers. Here's why. We've done market research. We've been talking to customers, et cetera, et cetera. If you can do that much, if it's a problem you can solve in that way, it's a great opportunity to solve that problem with machine learning, because a lot of what you're doing is taking that trained data and making it scale. So in our situation in with contracts, we've had our machine learning engineers, a lot of that meant just me in the beginning, sitting down with subject matter experts. A lot of that meant just Otto in the beginning, and really encoding all of the knowledge that these subject matter experts have around contracts, around, what are the important things in contracts you need to know in order to make decisions about those contracts, let's write all of those things down. And in a decent large number of contracts, let's label those things and see if we can train machine learning models to predict them. This is a big winner in my book of how to really build a really great machine learning product that's very defensible and solves a very specific problem in a very specific way. So how does this differ from ChatGPT, generative AI, generative text? Well, the way I think about generative text models is they're really good at turning unstructured data. So think about a contract, just written text. Otto was talking about this earlier, this sticky, this really tough problem in the legal world, human language. And the generative text turns that unstructured data into other unstructured data. And that's interesting. I think that's an interesting way to solve the problem. But, you know, what we do is we turn that unstructured data, a raw contract, into structured data, into answers to questions that really matter about the contract. And we do that using, you know, what you might expect in the modern day of NLP, you know, fine-tuning transformer models. So while the generative text might be good at things like contract drafting or a layman summarization, what we're doing is breaking down a contract into the things that really matter and using those in downstream applications that are uniquely enabled by that structured data, such as rating a contract or comparing a contract one topic at a time, or even one type of clause at a time, apples to apples across contracts, or collecting market data. One of our big assets as a company where we're saying we can count how many times this specific statement is true across contracts and tell you this is pretty rare. You're not going to find this very often if you're considering signing a contract with a statement in it. So we really like structured data, and we think it uniquely solves the type of business problems we're trying to solve. And we think our approach to machine learning is well suited to solving that problem.
So you guys are up to your eyeballs in this now. And one of the things that I've seen happen in a lot of companies I've invested in, when you start to scale and really start to sell, which is sort of the phase that you're in now as a company, is you run across this idea that people call the curse of knowledge, which is you've become so close to something that it's hard to remember what it was like to not know about it and not understand it. And that really can create a problem when you're selling things, new types of software, particularly AI tools. And with AI, one of the problems is customers don't always understand what parts of the tool are AI and what parts aren't. And so I'm interested in hearing a little bit more about how customers perceive Term Scout and sort of how you position it, how you sell it. And do your customers think there's AI in there? Or do you avoid that? Or is that what attracts them? And what in general have you learned from selling AI to people in the legal space?
Yeah, it's a great question, Rob. I'll take a swing here, and Evan, you can add color if you want. What we've found in the legal tech space generally is that some customers, especially in the last 3 months, want it. They want AI for the sake of AI because they just saw it on CBS and their mother-in-law called them and asked them about it. And their boss is asking them, and it's just kind of, it feels like we're at this crucial moment in time right now, this pivotal moment, thanks to ChatGPT, where everybody's talking about it. And I think more and more people are like, okay, the time has come where I need to really start to understand what this is. And that's good, I think, for everyone in the AI business. And we've seen an uptick in interest and demand as a result, which is awesome. And we're celebrating that. We also have, over the course of the couple of years we've been doing this, encountered a lot of customers who have actually felt like including AI or using AI in legal anything is actually more of a risk than an asset. There are a lot of companies in the legal technology space that have been deploying AI, trying different AI use cases for a long time. And we've had a number of customers come to us and say, we've tried every AI tool on the market, and frankly, you know, we're disappointed in all of them. So the approach that we've found is we use AI. We're big believers that AI is, it's not the end in and of itself. It's a means to an end. It's a very powerful tool that we can use to, you know, automate different processes, to create, you know, convert structured, unstructured data into structured data, to do a lot of the things that we're talking about here. But the end goal is, for us, make contracts simple and easy to understand and useful. So the way that we've handled that sort of, wow, some customers want it for the sake of it, some actually don't, is we've just decided to be overwhelmingly transparent with our approach. And so when you go into our application, we actually have really clear labels on all of our data. On any contract that you review in our platform, we offer two levels of review today. We call them verified. A verified contract is one that actually goes through human QC. So it's AI first, and then human contract experts on our team actually quality control everything. So it's verified by humans. And then we have predicted. And predicted, there's big disclaimers all over it that say, this is pure AI, you know, use at your own risk. And that's how we've handled that particular issue. And, you know, we think it's a little bit of a mixed bag, but overall, I think the tide is shifting a lot more towards including AI and leading with the fact that there is AI seems to be more of an asset over the last 3 months than it was before that.
And something I'll add is we've been putting more and more really machine learning native features into the app. By that, I mean things like giving a confidence level of the prediction that comes straight from the model. And I think I think we can get to a point where it's pretty exciting for customers to really feel like they're interacting with AI and with machine learning and with technology directly, actually in a way that ChatGPT is kind of enabled fairly uniquely for the first time. So things like putting the confidence level next to a claim that our product makes about a contract, it can be kind of fun. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, the confidence is low. You're only 60% sure that this claim is the case. And then you kind of drill in and think about it and you're like, yeah, this is a confusing, this is worded a bit strange. I see why the AI wasn't very sure. Or other times it's 99% sure and you're saying, oh yeah, this is very straightforward. I see why it's like that. It can be kind of fun. And that's some of the experience that we think can start to be unlocked, especially as the industry, legal tech, and really the broader B2B and SaaS spaces just get more excited about explicit AI in the product.
So that B2B space that you just mentioned has really exploded with legal tech in the last couple of years with this, you know, really with the rise, I think, of natural language processing. And I think it's always been a space that people have looked at and said, wow, this is the subject area really matches up to natural language quite a bit. And it's a place that, like we said at the beginning of this podcast, a lot of people just really don't like legal stuff, right? It's a complicated and a confusing thing for the average person. So I'm curious, how do you see the legal tech market from an AI perspective right now? What are the main use cases sort of outside of TermScout? What's the adoption look like? And how do you think this plays out? Are we going to end up with one giant legal tech company or two? Is there going to be an Oracle and a Salesforce, or are there going to be a lot of products? And will the companies continue to be specialized in legal tech or go into other areas with a lot of the NLP? What's your read on the market?
I'll take a stab there, Rob. Look, it's a really exciting time to be in legal tech. There has been, over the course of the last few years, just each year, of course, this year, macroeconomic conditions have been a little iffy, but generally speaking, the trend has been more and more companies coming into the space, and it's just become very, very exciting and a lot of innovation coming around legal generally. There are a handful of kind of big buckets of legal tech, among them electronic discovery, document automation, so like drafting documents, preparing documents is a pretty big category. Matter management for law firms, CLM, contract lifecycle management, is a huge category. It's taken, you know, probably the lion's share of private equity investment, venture capital investments in the contract technology space generally. There's a term I like to use, which is contract technology, I think, is much bigger than legal technology. When I think of legal tech, I think of niche tools for lawyers, and lawyers are a relatively small, you know, piece of the global economy. But contracts really are not a small piece of the global economy. As I mentioned earlier, they're kind of actually more like commerce tech than legal tech because they're kind of a quintessential element of almost every commercial transaction. So I think contracts generally, that's part of why, you know, we, our investors and our team are really excited about solving problems in this space because it's such a huge, huge area of opportunity. And in terms of the answer to your question about, you know, what's going to happen in the market, I don't know, but I tend to think that consolidation is likely. We hear from customers a lot feedback about, I only want to create logins for so many apps. I only want to ask my team to learn so many different apps. And it's a huge privilege to be one of those apps. And there's only room for so many of them. So when you think about a world with 1,000 legal tech tools, the reality is there's just not it's not possible for, it's not likely that we're going to get that many that are really successful. And I think a lot of companies are just going to get swallowed up and by some of the bigger companies. Contract lifecycle management companies are an obvious place to consolidate because they happen to be where the contract, you know, most they're building platforms to facilitate all of contracting transactions, you know, every part of the contract lifecycle, so to speak. So that's my view on where we're going.
So a lot of entrepreneurs listen to our podcast, and I always like to ask guests one question that the entrepreneurs want to know, which is, what problem would you like solved in your tech stack or at your company, but is something that Term Scout's not going to work on because it's not a fit or you don't have the right technical chops or whatever? What would you like some entrepreneur out there who's listening to build for you guys?
Yeah, I can start. I've got this idea for like a workplace async communication, you know, super app where you hook in email, you hook in Slack, you hook in Zoom, and it basically uses generative tech to summarize everything, summarize Slack threads, summarize meetings. And there's apps out here that do some of this stuff already, but something that just pulls it all together and does things like highlight key decisions that get made in meetings or in a Slack thread, you know, tags them automatically with which departments might be interested or which individuals might be interested, and basically just distills it all into like a news feed of your company where you can just kind of watch async all the things happening in your company and make it social, let people comment and put emojis and make it fun. I think that would be really, really cool.
Ooh, I like it. That's a hot idea, Evan.
Maybe that's where X is going or whatever new thing Elon Musk is doing, right? We don't know yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think mine is following up on my idea about consolidation and the customer problem of like customers only want to log into so many apps. Helping solve the problem of taking point solutions from different companies and helping weave them into other solutions so that we could deliver Term Scout's contract review solutions through XYZ contract lifecycle management tool more easily. And I know there are some companies playing in this space, and you know, to be perfectly candid, I'm no expert on the market, but I know this is kind of certainly a quintessential problem that we are thinking about a lot as a company, and definitely one that we're not planning on solving ourselves, not in a way that scales to other companies anyways.
Before we wrap up, tell me a little bit about, we've talked about how the company was founded and sort of what you're working on now. What's the future of Term Scout? If we have you back on the podcast in 2 years, what do you hope this company has become and what do you hope you've accomplished?
It's a great question, Rob. And the answer is, I think, pretty simple. What we hope, where we hope to be by then is so pervasive and so well known and with coverage of any contract type, such that next time, you know, 2 years from now, when you are downloading an app on your iPhone or buying a new home or leasing a new apartment or taking out a new credit card or loan, whatever that transaction is, you can open up Term Scout on your phone, on your computer, and get instant access to the most important data that you would need to use to inform yourself about whether or not that transaction makes sense for you, whether or not that contract is reasonable. Answers to questions like, what does this contract actually mean? How does it compare to similar contracts? And does it meet my specific requirements? And that information is so accessible that contract drafters, we change the balance of power. We shift the balance of power so that the contract drafters of the world actually start to say, instead of my client that I shared in the beginning who came and said, no one ever reads this, let's make it bad. Contract drafters start to say, everyone is going to instantly know what we put in this thing. We need to make it reasonable, and fair contracts, reasonable contracts become the norm, and contracts actually begin to work really, really well for the entire global economy.
It's interesting. It's going to give companies a whole nother vector by which they can brand themselves, right? Because you can think of yourself as a company that is lenient on some terms and stricter on other terms, and it can actually help customers of all types navigate the market a little better. Sort of the way people do this with venture capital. There's all these venture capital firms that some are more founder friendly on this term. You know, some are better on valuation and some are not. And you know, some like to replace founders and some don't. And some like to do follow on. And it's going to be really, really interesting to watch.
Whoa, some VCs like to replace founders?
Yeah. I mean, none of them would come on this podcast and say that, but I can tell you, as somebody who's made well over 100 investments and been through a lot of stuff, I think it used to be pretty popular. I think a lot of people used to do it, right? There was this idea that you just needed a great managerial executive. But I think with the newer wave of tech companies in the 2000s, people started to think that founders bring a spirit and just some things to the company that are hard to account for. And it's better to teach founders to be strong executives than to bring in stronger executives who sort of don't have that magical thing, right? Or they don't care enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's hard to buy a spirited evangelist for your company.
Yeah. Very, very true. Well, guys, thank you for being on today. I like to wrap up with one just broader question, which is, what's one life lesson that you've learned, or something that someone taught you, or something you got from an experience that you had that you'd just like to pass on to everybody who's listening today?
I can start. Mine's really career advice, especially for younger software engineers or technical people. And the advice is basically to not be afraid to get into management. It can seem like counterintuitive. Management feels like kind of climbing the ladder, or however you want to describe it. But I think a lot of engineers brand themselves as an individual contributor and a technical person and not a people person. And I'll just say that I've got this advice once and it's treated me really well. Open doors to entrepreneurship and other type of leadership that I think every engineer should take seriously, even if you're like me and you're as introverted as they come.
My advice, my life lesson that I've learned at Term Scout is, it sounds so obvious and really cliche, but I'm going to share it anyways because I really believe it. It's to make work fun. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the struggles and the challenges and the stresses of work. And we've been focusing a lot at Term Scout about just trying to have a little bit of fun, make a joke, have a laugh, celebrate the wins, have fun at our retreats, stuff like that. And it makes a huge difference in our own quality of life, our stress levels. And it also makes a huge difference from a business perspective. We enjoy, historically, I'm knocking on wood here, but historically we've enjoyed just phenomenal employee retention. And we're really, really proud of that. And I think a big part of that is that we have fun while we work. So, we recently asked ourselves at a company retreat, no matter what happens to this company, if we can look back and say, you know what, we had fun while we were working there, we'll all feel like this was a great success.
Both great pieces of advice. Evan, Otto, thank you guys for coming on the podcast today. Those of you listening, if you want to check out Term Scout and see if it might be a fit for the stuff that you're working on, you can go to termscout.com. And as always, we hope you'll go check out and listen to our other episodes. Thanks for listening.